Rave Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of AV Insider. I'm your host, Johnny Mota. Today, I have special guest Jeff Singer, who is the director of marketing communications at Crestron, who is a huge player in the automation games. Perhaps you've heard of them, but before I bring them on the show, I'd like to thank my sponsors. As always, I have Ingram Micro. They are the distributor of the world's largest technology distribution, delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more. If you go over to IngramMicro.com, you can check out my friends and check out their solutions for you that might fit your needs. And if you're just specifically an integrator like myself, and you're doing audio and, well, of course you're doing audio, right? That's something that people do. They have speakers, amps, racks, mic stands, a little bit of everything in between that we're all kind of getting those late night, Saturday night phone calls because something's not working and it's your fault. And it's usually an HDMI cable that's not plugged in. Go to atlassound.com, check out my friends over at Atlas Sound, and you can pretty much get any of that stuff that I'm talking about right now. Jeff, thank you for taking the time today. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Johnny.
Yeah. Let's just start with some really basic stuff. As I mentioned, you know, Crestron is kind of a big player in the game of home automation. Some people might say, what's home automation? Well, if you're listening to the show, you probably have an idea, but for some of you, maybe you don't. Can you give me a little bit of a background on who Crestron is and what you guys offer?
Yeah, obviously we have a very broad product offering, but we offer home automation, and we also offer, you know, on the commercial side, you know, for lack of a better term, building automation. So on the home automation side, we're really take a systems approach. So it's really a complete integrated home automation system. We enable you to control and automate all the different technologies in your home, from your home entertainment, lights, shades, thermostats, security. We get into some really unique requests that I'm sure we'll talk about later. Anything from, you know, hurricane shutters and to fish feeders. It's you know, anything that can be automated and controlled, you know, we do it. And then on the commercial side, we really address a number of different vertical markets, whether it be corporate, education, healthcare, government, military, hospitality, you know, really you name it. And again, we take a complete end-to-end systems approach where we're able to tie together all the different technologies in the building and enable IT and AV professionals to be able to monitor, manage, and control them globally on a single platform. And then hopefully for the end user, the idea is that you get this really simple, intuitive user experience. So all that crazy technology that, you know, your average person is not that familiar with becomes really seamless and easy and not so scary.
Right. I think some of the people that I talk to when I say home automation, they say, oh, you know, there's too much going on there, or, you know, I don't want to know. They don't generally want to know about all the stuff of, like, what it's doing. They just want to grab, like, that one source control and just be like, I just want to watch TV, or I just want to watch movies, or I just want to open the shades, or whatever it is. But they don't really care that it took all these, like, IOs and inputs to do this one trigger that, you know, triggers multiple things. And they, again, like you mentioned, you know, they want it to work seamlessly. You know, I don't have to, like I'll give an example. Like, my biggest pet peeve is when I go to a friend's house, you know, this is without automation. If I want to watch something on TV, it typically takes between 2 to 4 remotes. And it's just like, oh, well, that one only does the, you know, the volume, and this one is the box, and this one is the TV, and this one is something else. And it drives me crazy. I'm like, let me get you a simple remote that, like, just does this. And that's just, you know, the AV side of just that one little spot in the house. You know, we're talking about full-scale automation of literally everything in your house, from lighting to shades to warm flooring to, like you mentioned, fish feeder. That's a new one for me, fish feeder. But like blinds and shutter shades, and I've had, trams on people's, like gardens that go down triggered by other things, and just odd requests, but they're, if you can control it, it's possible to have that one, in this case, Crestron, to be the remote, if you will, of that source.
Well, absolutely. And what we're seeing today is, it used to be the and to a large extent, just like you said, it still is, that remote on the coffee table. But now you see that same phenomenon in apps, on your phone or your tablet. And you get everything from your local cable company to your security company to your lighting company, and everybody's got an app, but essentially it's the same phenomenon. I've got all these different apps for each individual thing, and it becomes unwieldy and confusing and intimidating, and it's just not a good, like you said, user experience. And I really think of, and we think of home automation. Yes, it's a technology, but we like to get into all the inputs and outputs and ones and zeros and join numbers and stuff in the background, but really, to the end user, to the client, to the homeowner, it's a lifestyle, and it's really got to fit into and just seamlessly blend with, a natural extension of themselves and what they do on a daily basis. And when everything aligns and works right, and that's really what our goal is, then that's what it is. They're not even aware of the technology, and they don't even think about the technology, and they're not even thinking about what they're doing. They're just doing it, and the system is just doing it along with them. And that's really what it's all about.
Simplifying it, and then, like I said, it's not really a thought to them. They're just kind of like, oh, I need to go do this, and not really take a second thought. And like, I'm just doing this naturally, and so along is the action of the home. It's naturally doing it because, I just, I told it to do something, but I didn't really think about much. It just happened to do so.
Right, exactly.
And then just to go back a step, like on the apps, like I agree with you. Yes, everyone has an app for that, if you will, just because it's catchy to say that. There's an app for that. And that's great. I like that, people and companies are starting to catch on more and more. There's, a few years back that it was kind of like, what for? I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you're holding a remote in your pocket. Why not? So now that there's an app for that, that's great. And the biggest argument that I get from some of my friends or other people is like, oh, I don't need home automation. I have an app for that. And my phone is the remote. And so I guess to an extent, yes, you have a single remote, but when you get down into it, you still have multiple remotes, if you will, inside of that handheld remote, because you have to open each one individually, then, drill down to it and find what you're looking for, versus having one app that has all that integrated into it. So,
So,
yeah,
yeah,
it.
well, that's and thank you for that wonderful setup, because as you probably know, that's exactly the value proposition that we offer. And that is, we do have that one app that will control everything, and you can customize it and program it to do whatever it is that you want it to do. So that it's the it's a that's exactly what you just described is exactly what we do.
Okay, well, end of the podcast. That's over. Thanks, everybody. Good night. That was the easiest podcast ever. No, and that I think, is the thing. It's like you said, it's an extension of your home, it's an extension of you, and it should just work, and you shouldn't really have to think too much about it. I like to tell people that in automation, ideally, if done correctly, and if we're talking like full scale, and if we're just doing everything in a home, like everything, it should save you time, some energy, and ultimately some money. If we're talking about like time of day triggers, and if it gets too hot, close the shades. That'll reduce energy on or money on your HVAC bill. You don't have to crank the AC. Your blinds that Crestron in this case happens to make can be triggered by a sensor saying it's 80 degrees outside. I don't want that much heat radiating on my windows, on the metal frame, and exuding into my home. Sunlight can burn up your carpets, your hardwood floors, your beautiful artwork that you may or may not have in your home. And a simple sensor saying it's X hot outside, close the shades. And you don't have to do that. I mean, you can, it, I mean, yes, someone has to program that, but those simple concept and ideas are there to protect you. And again, like I said, save you time of having to go and close a shade. And yeah, one sounds a little silly, but if you have, usually on larger projects, people have a lot of windows, a lot of glass, a lot of shades. And so it becomes very tedious and takes a lot of time from what you want to do naturally, whether that's spending time with the family, the kids, running a business, whatever, or just relaxing. Those things can be all done automatically and automated so that you don't have to. And that, again, that's just one example of what a trigger can do from a sensor. If it senses rain, close a sun skylight or things like that. All things to protect your home, and just simple little triggers like that are very convenient. And automation, kind of. I mean, as long as we mentioned, like as long as you can control it, there's so the possibilities are so endless. You just really need to think about what it is that you want to do with it.
Yeah, well, that so gosh, you touched on a few really interesting topics. So first of all, yes, the idea is the one thing that people always say, well, you can't make more time or you can't buy time, and that is one of the great benefits of a home automation system, especially that we deliver. And that is, again, some of the homes that we do have a lot of lights and a lot of windows. And just going to bed at night, walking around the house to close all the shades, to turn off all the lights, to make sure all the doors are locked, to make sure that the alarm is set. I mean, that's an undertaking. That's a process. So, when you have especially a larger home, I mean, on a smaller home, it's a wonderful convenience. Just like you said, it's a great convenience, it's comfort, it's security, it's even energy saving. But when you have a larger home, even multiple homes, it's really a necessity. To go around and do that is just, you become a prisoner to your own home. So it's a wonderful, wonderful convenience, and like I said, even a necessity. I think well, there was another thing that you mentioned that was another great point that you made. And oh my gosh, you just I've forgotten what you said. I'm sure it'll come back to me.
Was it triggers on time of day or heat sensing or
Well, that was part of it. So again, there are companies out there that do lighting control. There's
Sure.
certainly some products and companies that have gotten a lot of press and notoriety for having a programmable or an intelligent thermostat. And so on. The idea of Crestron being that one intelligent platform is unique. And what we're able to do is take all these very different systems and get them to talk together to each other and to work together as a single system. So, for example, you might have a thermostat that tells you, oh, it's hot in here. Let's crank the AC. That's not necessarily the answer, and you'll wind up, spending a lot of money. If you're a lighting control system and you say, oh, it's hot in here, you might, well, actually, if you're a lighting control system, you wouldn't say it's hot in here, but what you might say is, oh, it's very sunny in here. So we can just, turn the lights off, and therefore I'm going to save you money. Where in fact, what you really want to do is you want the shades and the lights and the thermostat all to kind of work together and say, hey, what's going on here? Okay, it is hot in here, but I'm detecting that there's, direct sunlight coming in. So just shutting off the lights isn't really the answer. Maybe what I want to do is lower the shades, which will lower the temperature so I don't have to crank the AC.
Correct.
And, maybe we'll dim the lights a little bit just to kind of strike just the right balance. I'm going to give you the optimal, environmental ambiance. You'll have enough light, even though we lowered the shades, but it won't be too hot, and I'm not going to have to crank the AC. You're going to be very comfortable, and we're going to maximize your energy savings. That kind of a thing. Or, hey, I know that you're watching TV, and therefore I may want the lights and the shades and to be at a different setting where I know that you're not in the room or that you are in the room. And, based on all these different data points, it can be constantly monitoring the room, who's in it, if anyone's in it, how it's being used, and really make sure that your home is operating the way that it should.
Agreed. Yeah, and then there's all these, little things that you can do. I mean, like that, the lighting one I think is one of my favorites because, I think people undervalue the how much light adds to a home. If we're talking, large scale homes, I mean, even if in smaller homes, I do people's lighting layouts and such. There are a lot of lights if they're we're talking about recessed lighting at least that are going into people's ceilings to illuminate properly, and sometimes it's still quite not enough, and they're using the natural lighting, so the sun and some shading to kind of counteract the not enough lighting and not having to put a million cans in the ceiling. So the control of it is nice, and if you have a lighting control system, in which case Crestron is able to do. It's nice to be able to give yourself scenes and things like that, but also to make your system, in this case Crestron, the processor, give it the information that it would need to confidently say, okay, well, maybe it's at high noon, I know that the sun is here or something like that, and it's gonna the sun's gonna hit somewhere on my house at from this time. I definitely want the shades down on the west wall or something like that, and you didn't have to do it. And like we talk about, like if you have really large homes and people have second homes and things like that, yeah, it is a necessity because I don't have time, or maybe I'm work all day. I'm not gonna be there to shut those. And so when I get home, it's gonna be like an oven in my house because I forgot to close the blinds, or I couldn't drive all the way back home and do it from work or something like that. So all these,
Or you can even get pop-up alerts on your phone,
yeah.
based on, so you can be monitoring the house. If anything does happen, where you could check your lights, you could check your alarm, make sure your alarm's set, make sure your lights are on or off. If we have, we're based in New Jersey, and there's a high water table, so a lot of people have sub pumps in their basement. If they detect water in the basement or this sub pump has been activated, you can get a pop-up alert on your phone. Along those lines, there was one of my favorite unique stories along those lines is we had a client on the Gulf Coast of Florida, and he traveled a lot, so he wasn't there all the time. And as I'm sure everybody's very familiar, certain times of the year, they're prone to hurricanes. So they had actually automated their hurricane shutters.
Nice.
They had automated hurricane shutters. So we were able to detect wind speed.
Oh.
So if the wind speed got crossed a certain threshold, the hurricane shutters automatically would close and protect the windows of the house. And at the same time, would send an email alert to him on his phone. And then on his phone, he could then control the pan-tilt zoom, PTZ, cameras and actually get a vi and visualize the home and check on it to make sure that everything was okay. And, of course, if there was a question or an issue, you could just call a neighbor or somebody to go over and check on it. But I mean, that was just I don't know. I just thought that was pretty unique and pretty awesome.
That's very awesome. So, I mean, Google's making the self-driving car. Crestron makes a self-driving home.
There you go. We got a new ad campaign.
Okay, so I'm glad, again, you're here, and I could talk with you about automation all day, if it would allow me, but time scheduling and our geographic locations in the world isn't really going to allow that. So, and we have a little bit of time. What I really want to talk about today, and maybe I'll have you back in the future for like a part two edition, is some of you listening, I'm sure, probably went to Infocom in Vegas. Woo, Vegas! Vegas is a great place for Infocom for fun reasons. I can't handle it. My allergies rip me apart, and it's too dry there for me. So, I asked Crestron to come on the show today and kind of give me a rundown of the show. Obviously, we're not going to talk about the rest of the show, but I know that there was a lot of products and things that were announced, and Crestron is one to innovate and push products a lot, which is great because I like to see change. I like to see advancement. And so, Jeff, if you could you give us a few, just a little bit of rundown on how things went down at Infocom there?
Well, it was, first of all, I have to say that, you know, the commercial side of our business is by far the lion's share of our business. Mm-hmm. So Infocom's very important show for us. The show was great. Infocom has official attendance of a little over 37,000 people, which they claim is a record. You know, we certainly had a fantastic show. The booth was packed the entire time. We trained more people and got more leads than ever before. So it really was a great show. And I think, you know, while there are a lot of great companies that, you know, showed some great product, you know, we're very proud to have taken home 4 CI Best Awards, and we won all 3 of the Best in Show Awards. Very so good. Looks like we're doing something right.
Yeah, right.
So getting down to the product level, we introduced or showed 43 products at Infocom for the first time at Infocom.
Wow, 43?
43.
Okay, name them all alphabetically and then give me the rundown.
I am going to spare you and your listeners that.
And I want the full part numbers, please.
But
CN part 1 through 5,000.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, that's, yeah. Of course, it's alphabet soup, and we all make fun of part numbers in our industry, and we're no exception, that is for sure.
It's okay. There's a rhyme and reason for everything.
We went through a lot of new stickers. You know, you got to put it on the wall all around the booth.
Yeah.
I'll run through a few of the highlights.
So sure.
I got to tell you that for us, Crestron Digital Media really still is our number one selling product line. That was our number one focus within the DM product line. 4K primarily, and also streaming. Is really where we're developing on that platform. So we had new single gang 4K transmitters and receivers that also do HDMI, by the way. We had 4K HD base T input cards and blades for all of our matrix switchers. 4K HDMI output cards and blades for our switchers.
Okay.
We're coming out with a new 4K cable, 4K scaler, 4K DMPS, which is our all-in-one digital presentation system. We had a new audio breakout box for our larger DM switchers. So it's an audio injector extractor for the large-scale switchers. Obviously, you know, when you're dealing with HDMI and HD base T, the audio is tied to the video. So this is a way to extract and then inject audio where you need it.
Sounds like a sweet like robot that like RoboCop would fight from the 80s who breakdances with his little boombox. The audio extractor injector.
That is exactly what it's like.
Well, I'm glad that you guys made that. I need that in my life.
We already had a streaming input card, and now we introduced the streaming output card. So, we can stream in and out of the same matrix as well. So it really is anything in, anything out.
Okay.
And then obviously touch screens is a big thing for us. Everybody wants to see the touch screens. So we have new touch screens for network room scheduling. We have new touch screens that have built-in control systems, so you don't need a separate processor. We have a new, basically it's a wireless tablet. So if you're familiar with our latest TSW touch screens, we have a new wireless version of that coming out.
Okay.
We have flip-top boxes that have touch screen and control system built in. It's an all-in-one, so you get your AC, power outlets with, you can have cable retractors or pass-through cables or connector plates, whatever kind of connectivity you need, along with the touchscreen and the control system all in one.
It looks like the new flip-top has multiple little modules, if you will. Like you said, like one could be power, one could be USB, one could be HDMI, and little cable pass-throughs on either side.
Totally configurable.
Yeah.
You got an online configuration tool where you can just kind of drag and drop,
mm-hmm.
and configure it. It configures it for you, and then it gives you a bill of materials and a quote. It makes it real easy.
Does the flip portion frame come in different metal finishes, or is it the standard kind of gray or black?
There are two standard finishes. So there's the anodized black, and then there's a brushed aluminum.
Okay. Very nice.
And then we also, education is a big market, important market for us. So we introduced a pre-programmed classroom system. So, and this kind of gets also to a major focus for us in many ways, moving forward. So, if you think about it, whether it's in the home or in a commercial setting, whether it be corporate education, what have you, the vast majority, and I'll just for sake of the conversation invoke the 80-20 rule, give or take, but let's say 80% of what we do is highly repeatable. You turn lights on and off, shades or screens go up and down.
Sure.
You turn the TV display on and off. It's kind of this, there's a core set of functions and controls that you do day in, day out. And so really our focus is saying, okay, let's make the simple things simple. Let's make the things that are highly repeatable, truly repeatable. We're going to take that, we're going to actually pre-program, we're going to ship the product with the program already on board so that you don't have to program any those things. Then what you can then do is focus your efforts on the one-offs or the custom requests that you always get. And so with these pre-programmed classroom systems, for example, we have the DMPS 100C that ships with the program already loaded, and you connect the touchscreen to it, and right from the touchscreen, you can choose your sources, choose your displays, and choose your icons for your GUI, and you're up and running. And then if you want to customize it, you can. So that was a big hit.
And that was a new thing for Infocom, or for you guys in general, but released at Infocom?
Well, we showed it for the first time at Infocom. I think we announced it, or we announced it prior to Infocom. It was the first time that we were able to show
physical.
I'm sorry.
Show the physical product, all pre-programmed and everything.
Yeah, where people could actually walk up to the touch screen and say, "Oh, wow, this is real. I really don't need a laptop." I can choose my source. I can choose my, it's in there.
That's and nice.
And it's like, wow, that's really cool. And we're going to, and really that's something that we're going to be doing more of. you know, across the board, not just for classrooms. So you can be on the lookout for that. Again, programming isn't going to go away by any stretch of the imagination. But again, you know, just, again, invoking the 80-20 rule, things that can be repeatable should be, and then that way you can, where you can differentiate or add value or really spend your time and your effort and, you know, and your focus should be on the things that, you know, like the hurricane shutters, you know,
you or know? The fish feeder
and or the fish feeder. Exactly. Yeah. I'll tell you, yeah, we can get into that one later, too.
Give me 1 second. We'll get into that in a minute. I want to thank my sponsor again because I want to hear about the fish feeder because I almost have a similar story where we did not do the fish feeder. We did monitor some tropical fish tanks and possibly a sad story, but we'll save it towards the end. Again, Ingram Micro, is the distributor of the world's largest technology distribution, delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more. If you check out my friends at ingrammicro.com, check out all their good stuff, a lot of digital signage stuff and other fun commercial products like we're talking about here with my friends at Crestron, and Atlas Sound. If you're doing speakers, amps, racks, putting all this stuff on a rack, it's got to go on a rack, doing other rooms for mics, mic stands, all the interconnects and everything in between, if you go to atlassound.com, you can check them out. Tell them I said hi. They like me. And they'll give you a high five. Thank you very much. And Jeff, let's hear. I didn't mean to cut you off. So,
yeah, we just had a couple more things I wanted to mention about Infocom, and then we can take it wherever you want.
Yeah.
So we do have a new 3 series control system, the RMC3. Mm. And it's just a little box that can really mount on commercial installations. It can go on a pole mount, it can go underneath a conference table, it can go behind a display. It's really small. It's a PoE device, so I think it might be the only power and communication over Ethernet processor out there. And it's perfect for classrooms and meeting rooms and homes too, I suppose, you know. And then also we had a new network stream player. So it's great for streaming music. So you can stream your iTunes music, whether either wired or wirelessly using AirPlay. And we can also natively stream Sirius XM. Obviously, it has obvious great home entertainment and home audio distribution applications, but it also works well in for light commercial applications like doctor's offices, restaurants, retail. And the real important part in terms of a commercial application is that a commercial license for these for like Sirius XM is really inexpensive. I think I was told like $13 or $14 a month, which is nothing, and it comes with, you know, and it's fully licensed, so you don't have to worry about anything.
Nice.
And we've had more, you know, I'll just say popular internet radio services that we will be adding soon, and that'll just be, you know, something we can push out over the internet.
But currently that does not offer some of those popular services like Spotify, Pandora. What are the other ones out there? There's so many. MOG, which is really great for high quality, which is no longer MOG. It's what do they call it now? Something Music, Beats
by
Apple.
Well, I would say because of certain agreements, I can't mention the names, but I'm glad you did.
Just wink if I'm right.
I'm just going to say yes.
okay, well, I'm glad I named off a few of them. There's a few other ones out there, but, you know.
Yeah, the development is done. It's just all kind of going through the business side of it, you know, getting agreements signed and checked off and getting approvals and stuff. But,
sure.
So it should be anytime.
For those streaming services I mentioned, don't be mad at Jeff. It's not his fault.
I didn't mention any of them.
I did. I'll take the credit for all that. or the lashing that might come from that. But I like your services, so don't be mad about that. And it's not Jeff's fault that he didn't mention them. He likes you too. So does CrossRealm, but don't. They didn't mention them. I did. So we'll get past that stuff. No, that's great. I'd love to see those services. I'd love to see as many streaming services as possible. Obviously, there's logistics and rights and money transactions that need to be happened before certain things can happen, and I understand that.
But the really cool part is that here, I'll give you one part number. It's the CEN-NSP1, but it will stream those services natively. You don't have to connect it to a mobile device or a laptop or a computer or tie up any of your personal or work devices. It does it on its own, which is really nice. So yeah, I mean, if you think about it, you know, there are other solutions out there, but you know, it's really streaming from your device. So you can't actually use your phone as a phone, for example. Although if you do get a phone call, I guess the party stops because when the phone rings, the music stops. This is really a great product.
And that was the CEN-NSP1. I'm assuming network streaming player.
Yeah, network stream player.
Okay.
Stream player.
And that's same concept for that you said, like later on down the line when some of those people I may or may not have mentioned come to agreements with CrossRealm that can be just updated over the internet.
Yes. So the dealer, the integrator, will just, you know, do a little firmware update on their end and then just push it out over IP to the homeowner. To the commercial client, it'll look very much like what you normally do when you get updates to apps on your phone or tablet. Mm. It'll, you know, and you'll just say update and it'll do it.
I need to ask you, I haven't been to your guys' booth in about 2 years, mainly because I haven't been to like a CDR event in about 2 years. But last when I was there, the biggest thing that I saw, aside from some of the, you know, the remotes, the panels, the shades, I think were just announced or something like that. For me, I think the biggest thing that maybe everyone didn't quite grasp yet, and I'm hoping you still do something like this, and it, you know, maybe development hasn't gone where it needs to be in that time span, was NFC triggers in the home, at the door, shades, things like that. Is that something that CrossRealm is still doing or working with?
So we did show that, mm-hmm. and what we're doing now, and we will be showing at CEDIA this year, is something that we call internally right now. I don't know if we settled on a name or anything yet, but we're calling it iBeacon. And what it does on your so it's sort of like a geolocator kind of thing. So when you enter a room, it knows, you know, that it's, not only does it know that it's you, but it knows what room you're in, and it will automatically on your phone or your tablet, the app interface will populate the controls for that room automatically. So it's almost like a living control system. You know, it kind of follows you. So where you go, so when you go into, you know, let's just, I know you're kind of focusing on the home, so I'll just say you go into the home theater and it knows it's the home theater. And so the controls for the home theater will populate. Whereas if you go into the, the kitchen, it knows that you're in the kitchen, and the control interface for the kitchen will populate.
Interesting. Okay. Well, yes, I am. I'm kind of focusing on the home side of things because I am more of a resi guy. But let's just go over the commercial side of things. What about like in a boardroom application, right? Like you have one of your surface mount touch panels or something like that. And it sounds like this iBeacon is specifically for mobile application, right? So like on a phone, a tablet, something like that, correct?
Right.
Okay, so in a boardroom scenario where iBeacon is used, can I have multiple users, geo or yeah, little geotags essentially? Like when they, what can it recognize multiple users? So like if they go in, it knows that like let's just say between 7 and noon is certain time for certain meetings or whatever. And when a person goes in there, it recognizes them and they have come into the boardroom and other people, and they get certain access to certain controls, or can other people be locked out? Does it even have access to recognize multiple users?
Yeah, that's exactly the idea.
Okay. Or the iBeacon in this particular.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Cause, yeah, and everything is, with especially on the commercial side, but certainly the home as well. Everything is really integrated and tied back to the network, so that. To your point about locking people out or turning people, knowing who's connected, how many people are connected, who's connected, you can monitor and manage all of that. And if you want to lock somebody out, you want to, lock everybody, clear it. You have in a global network sense, you have total control over that. As an administrator or IT manager or something.
Nice.
And
Can
when I
we
say that, I mean anything. I mean, through our software. It's not just
right.
tablets and,
Okay. Well, I wasn't sure. I was trying to understand like the full concept of iBeacon. Is that going to be we were talking about, because you said app, I wasn't sure if we're specifically talking about mobile devices or like physical or crush-on proprietary handheld remotes or wireless panels or such.
Well, I think you normally if in I think normally what you see is in a corporate setting, you have hopefully the idea is that the control interface, the touch screen or what have you, normally stays in the room.
I think I was thinking Rosie took commercial, but like yeah, nor normally does. I guess I didn't think about that. So yeah, I guess that would be more focused towards mobile then.
But I mean, if they wanted to, I'm sure that, we could have it do whatever they wanted it to do. But that's usually not typical in those applications.
You were supposed to say Crestron can do whatever you want.
I thought I said that, but I think you said it better.
You did. You did. I'm just giving you a hard time. Can we talk a little bit about where you might see the future of Crestron? I mean, like, as far as I've known, I mean, since the beginning of time, Crestron is always, that's been the goal, like, to control. That's, you guys are a control system, and it's not limited to anything that I can think of. And anytime I've come across something that wasn't already integrated to, it was just kind of, we just need to find a way to do it. And then eventually, after hours and hours and hours of like coding and testing and writing drivers, it was possible. I mean, is there like a general sense that you think you might see Crestron headed towards?
Well, I think what, and you're right. I think what's always driven our product development, or certainly in recent years, I think we have a unique vision or a unique outlook on these things. I think our industry kind of, bear with me just a minute. I promise I'll keep it short, but
No problem.
our industry really started, if you think about it, you got a guy who made speakers in his basement, and now he's got a speaker company. Another guy was passionate about amplifiers, and he made amplifiers in his garage or his basement, and that became a company. And each company was very focused on a component, a thing, a piece of the pie, if you will. And I mean, Crestron certainly started out that way to a certain extent as well. I think where we are right now is we're looking as our industry, as technology evolves, as people are adopting it, are accepting it, and it's becoming really woven into the fabric of our lives, whether at school, at work, at home, everywhere. So the technology is evolving, the market is maturing, the industry is maturing, saying, what we need to do is deliver that the home automation system or the building automation system is the product. That's the thing. It's like when you go to buy a car, you don't buy, the carburetor and the tires and the seats and the pistons and the thing, and say, okay, let's go make a car. You buy a car.
Right.
And in the same way, we're saying you ought to be able to go out and buy a home automation system.
Okay.
And so we think about, okay, what are all the pieces of a home automation system? What are all the, what do people do in a home? What do people do in a business?
Hmm.
And then make and develop and engineer and build all the parts and pieces to go together, to work together as a single integrated holistic thing that does all the things that people want to do. So that's kind of the overriding philosophy and vision of what drives us and what we're doing. And yes, the idea is that unlike a lot of other control or automation companies, we don't have a cookie cutter good, better, best. We don't say this one does this one does that, this one does another thing. Mm-hmm. Which one do you want? It really is, what is it that you want to, what is it that you want to do on a, on the commercial side? We're using technology to solve real business challenges. They need to do things. They need to manage things. They need to do things. They need to communicate. They need to collaborate. They need to work. They need to share, and they're having a difficult time with it. And we need to provide the technology to make it easier for them to do that. And then the same thing in the home, as we've discussed earlier. And so we just, what is it that you want to do? What's bugging you? What's difficult? How can we make it easier? And then we just go and make it do that.
Yeah.
To your point. So that's the first thing. In terms of specific product development, like I said, I think one of the things that we're really focused on is more onboard or built-in programs to make life easier for the integrators to deploy and manage systems and really kind of make it more attractive for the homeowner or for the client. If you're an integrator, you want to get in, get out, and get paid. If you're a homeowner, as much as you may love your program or your integrator, you don't want a permanent house guest,
right.
And you don't want to have to necessarily, when the cable provider changes the channel lineup, you don't want to have to necessarily call the integrator and have it cost you thousands of dollars, So we're looking at ways of how do we keep the simple things simple, make the things that should be highly repeatable,
mm-hmm.
and then allow guys like you, who are really skilled and experienced and talented and know what you're, to go in there and deliver that one-off, to give it that differentiated added value, do the thing that, that they want to do that nobody else is asking to do. And really be able to focus your efforts on that.
Sure.
So right. We have some new. So we're gonna be launching some new products and new systems like that. I can't give away more than that, but we're very excited. I think everybody's gonna really respond well to that. And then in terms of 4K, We really are pushing that. So, you know, we have a full 4K end-to-end solution now. We're the only ones that do that. But that's just the beginning. So now we're going to be adding streaming 4K. We're working on a chip that will enable a true 4K 60 frames per second at the full, you know, 444 color depth, 4K over fiber. And another thing that we're actually really excited about is on the horizon would be software-defined matrix switching. Now, this is something that is not unique or new in the IT world, but has never been done in the AV world. And really, it's I could just say, imagine a matrix switcher that does not have a physical size. It is not restricted or bound by any physical size. Think about how many times, and I'll just say an 8x8. You know, you got an 8x8 switcher, and then, or a 16x16 switch. Stick with 8x8. So an 8x8 switcher, you want to add that ninth output. That's a crazy thing that you have to do now, right? You got to rip out the old switcher. You got to buy a new switcher, install the new one, which, oh, by the way, is not going to fit in the hole in the rack left by the 8x8 because it's bigger. You're going to have to, you know, rewire and connect that up. Then you have to reprogram it. I mean, it's an undertaking.
Right.
So imagine now you just add a receiver at the new display.
Okay.
And then in software, you activate that. You just add the driver and you activate it and you're done.
So it's software driven, but no physical size is what you're saying?
Correct. If that doesn't whet your appetite, I don't know what will.
I'm trying to envision something that doesn't have a physical math and like it's just like software, like just eliminate all the hours of programming, just get rid of the hardware. It's in terms of like, you know, yeah, there's no ports left. You have to buy a new, bigger, you know, switcher, blah, blah, blah. It's going to cost you more money than the original one did, you know, the one you just paid for, et cetera, et cetera. More time, more money. It's not simple. I know you just want to add one thing, but all this has to happen. And now you're saying I can just be like, okay, here, click.
Yeah, I mean, think about in the IT world. You know, you got some, you know, network switch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you decide that you're going to, you know, what happens in the IT world where somebody says, oh, we're going to add a new printer to the third floor, or, you know, I'm going to break up this conference room and we're going to make it into two offices, or, well, in Johnny's office, let's, you know, we're going to add a new, you know, a display or whatever it is.
You're right.
You know, they don't rip out the entire infrastructure and start over, you know. They just add a driver and, you know, away you go.
Right.
So, you know, like I said, this concept is not new. It's been done in the IT world for years. We've just, you know, so we're looking at them. We're saying, well, they do it. How are they doing it? Because that looks a hell of a lot easier. What are we doing wrong?
Right.
You know, and so we're kind of taking a page out of their book and applying it to our world. And, you know, it's not going to be, you know, in the next, you know, 90, 120 days or anything, but, you know, it's something that we're looking at and saying, there's a, you know, we in the AV world have done it a certain way for decades. And we're looking at it a little bit differently now and saying, we can do it differently. We can do it better. We don't have to do it that way. So
right. Well, in 121 days, I want to see this thing that doesn't exist, that has no mass.
Well, I'll draw you a picture.
Okay. Can you fax that over?
Fax?
What's a fax?
Do people still use faxes now?
I have one in my office, and it sits right next to an old copy of Batman, the original, in Betamax. And actually, I have two copies of that, just because
is
like
to. Is that a top loader?
Yeah,
With the wood grain paneling.
Oh man, yeah. I'm sorry. I had to make myself laugh a little bit. For all those who don't know, fax machine is older than the Pony Express, and you can look it up on Google because Google's that old as well. okay, l now let's just talk about a few fun things because we're gonna wrap the show up. I want to talk about. Can you maybe name some of your most odd yet interesting requests that Crestron has successfully done? We talked about the fish feeder, right? I had something similar to
So
that as well, but.
we've teased that one, so I might as well tell you. Okay, so I don't remember how many gallons, but it was like hundreds of gallons of this saltwater tank with very unique, very expensive fish in it. And again, you can imagine, it's a jet set type person that's not around all the time to take care of and feed the fish.
Right.
So there was this elaborate setup with these tanks. I mean, it was all kind of, in the wall, so you didn't really, or behind the wall, so you didn't really see it all. But there were all these different tanks of goldfish, which the because the saltwater they were I think they were saltwater. They were aggressive fish, so they ate other fish. So they had all these other tanks of goldfish, which would have to be a very specific amount would have to be released into the main tank at very specific times,
So they could feed on them.
so they could feed on them.
Okay.
Meanwhile, guess what? The fish that is really the food also needs to stay alive
Right.
because they'll only eat live fish.
Right.
So those fish have to be fed. And all these different tanks, there are several different tanks of the live fish, the live food, along with the main tank. Obviously, there was also had to monitor the pH levels and the water temperature. And so all this entire elaborate system was all completely automated by Crestron.
That's way a little bit more advanced than the one I had. I had a very similar large 1,000 gallons of tank of exotic fish where there was no feeder fish, if you will, but it had to monitor pH levels and the heat and all that stuff, so it didn't kill these really exotic fish, which
Exactly.
may or may not have died towards the end of the process of testing.
Well, as far as I know, the system is working well, and all the fish are alive except for the ones that got eaten when they were supposed to, anyway.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I have a few others. If I don't know what you're doing on how you're doing on time, if you want some other examples,
Yeah,
but
we could do a few more, and then we'll get towards the end here.
all right. Well, you let me know. So, let's see. There's one. It was called Cave 76 is the name of the home,
Cave
which was,
76.
yes, it was named after. Do you remember the Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner comedy sketch, The 2,000-Year-Old Man?
No.
Well, you can all Google it.
Google.
It was a classic sketch comedy, The 2,000-Year-Old Man. And the caveman in the sketch lived in. You can picture the caves as like cave condos, and he lived in Cave 76.
Okay.
And apparently, the owner of this home was a big fan. So anyway, they had this indoor-outdoor pool area. So in the winter, it was an indoor pool. It was surrounded on three sides by these. It was wall to wall. If you could picture these, almost like Grecian arches. With and they were but with French doors and very elaborate huge wall of French doors on all three sides, but then in the summer the walls, I mean the entire structure, all the walls would then just drop down and disappear underground. I mean there was a basement, there was a substructure built for it, but the whole thing just dropped down below ground level, so now the pool was truly outside.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. And the other thing that it had was sort of like Wayne Manor, remember from Batman?
Yeah.
So instead of the statue, it was a so there was a lib in the library. There was a he had a library or has a library, and when you pull one of the books, one of the walls of the bookshelf was actually a hidden door, was a secret door. And the door opens to reveal or lead to the secret passageway, which goes to the upper balcony of the library.
Wow.
And then also in this home, they had, he liked classic comic books and cigars, which don't always mix. So we had this very intricate air filtration system that clears out the cigar smoke and circulates fresh air, and that was all controlled and automated by Crestron as well. So although there was a few really unique things I thought in that home, and then there was another one. It was a, they call it the luxury survival condos.
Hmm.
We don't actually know where they are. well, somebody does. We just can't say. it's like this bunker that they built underground. And it's like where these people will live when the apocalypse happens.
Costco.
And there are in this condo, there are 9 residential units, 4 guest suites.
Wow!
Now get this: a school.
Yes. School's important, kids.
It was like everything that they would need to like continue life underground. There's a library, a theater, a general store, a pharmacy, medical center, a fitness center, swimming pools. I mean, all this stuff. And then to run all of that, they had like 3 different sources of electrical power. Oh, they had a hydroponic farm.
Of course, tomatoes are important.
You got to have that. there was a renewable water supply, air filtration, and an elaborate security system. And all these different life systems is all controlled and automated by Crestron. One of the things that I thought also that was pretty cool about this is, you know, they thought about, you know, if you live underground, you know, you don't get any sunlight and you don't, you can't see outside and people will just, you know, go crazy.
Right.
So they install, so one of the things, so I guess some of the lighting has whatever UV, whatever, you know, lighting, you know, that they use. But then they also installed these HD displays vertically.
Mm-hmm.
All around in these different living quarters, and on the displays they had these they have IP cameras outside the bunker facing in every direction. So like if you had a room that was facing south, there was a camera facing south outside, and it basically simulated a window.
Wow, it's like living in, or working at the Umbrella Corp, where they're all underground in a hive, and they had like, you know, digital frames that displayed outside and things like that.
So yeah, this was like, I don't know, I had never ever seen or heard anything like this.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, if you find out, you can just email me. I want to be their neighbors. I'll move in the neighborhood and be a very nice programmer, too willing to work after the apocalypse. that's pretty cool. It
didn't look like there was very much going on from the pictures I saw. Didn't look like there's very much going on anywhere around there.
Yeah, I didn't think that there would be. It sounds like it's in a remote place, and someone just had a lot of money there. We're gonna build, you know, Bartertown underground and self-sustaining, and you know, a dome within a dome, biodome, and crazy. I think it's pretty cool.
So you know, we you know, it's really fun to kind of talk about these crazy things, which it definitely illustrates the point you made earlier, is that we really can do anything.
Right.
But again, you know, I don't want to intimidate anybody, because if you just want to do one room, you just want to turn the lights on and off, or you just want to watch TV, like you said, you know, we can do that too. The real takeaway here is that, you know, I've had friends, you know, that, you know, they wanted to save a few bucks, and they either did something themselves or they got something that was quote unquote cheaper. And then as they started to use the technology and they did turn the lights on and off, or they did, you know, just want to watch TV, they kind of got into it. Right. They're like, this is pretty cool. What else can we do?
Right.
And very quickly with a lot of other systems, you kind of reach a dead end.
Right, because their capabilities are so much.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you run into that, or you know of what I'm speaking. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you face that situation that nobody ever wants to face. You know, I've spent all this money, and time and effort and whatever to do this much, and now to do what I really wanted to do. Now I've got to rip it all out and start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bitter pill to swallow. And that's as an integrator, that's a tough conversation to have with your client. As a client, that is a tough thing to hear. And again, that's the beauty of Crestron, is that, you know, hey, you just want to start off with a little inexpensive control processor with an app on your phone and do some stuff for, you know, a couple thousand dollars. We can do that.
Right.
And then it's totally scalable, where it doesn't matter. You know, we have homes that are 40,000 square feet with 300 and something loads of lighting and, you know, 90 something shades and blah, 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 you know, and so on and so forth. And that's just one home. And then they can control the, you know, multiple homes, or, you know, on the commercial side, it's, yes, we can do the conference room, or we can do the entire building, or we can do the entire campus, or we can do all of your campuses all around the world.
Right.
So you never have to have that conversation. You never have to face that, oh no, moment, which probably will come out a little bit different, but I don't want you to have to edit and bleep me. you know, it's totally and completely scalable. And that's pretty unique and pretty important.
I think that's a great place to end this session for now. My last question was very much answered by everything you just said. Was going to say, you know, is there anything that, you know, Crestron hasn't done yet or that can't do? And we kind of talked on it a little bit where earlier when I said, you know, where's Crestron headed? And you kind of alluded to some things that I've been asking for, not on the show today, but in the past, and clients have been asking for. And I think that'll be maybe a good follow-up once we get to certain points later in the year. I'd love to have you back on the show. Once we get a little farther in the year, we can talk about some new things that we kind of alluded to today. And the question I was going to say was, you know, what makes Crestron unique? Why should a client, end user, or integrator pick you? And the second part to that was, you know, what can't you do? And it's all summed up by, well, it's not really what we can't do. It's more of, what do you want us to do for you? And then we'll just do that.
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing this a long time. And as you know, we've got systems that were installed 10, 15, 20 years ago that are still running just fine.
Right.
You know, we do make systems for the military. Literally, they're on aircraft carriers. They're in you know, out in the field in Afghanistan and Iraq. I mean, mission critical, applications, and that's what's going in somebody's home too. We don't make two different product lines.
Right.
So this is all like the highest appliance grade, you know, mil spec, if I kind of use that loosely, you know, stuff. So it's ultra reliable. And that's the thing, you know, technology is supposed to make your life easier, not harder. It's supposed to make your problems go away, not add to them. And you just want it to work.
Right.
And our stuff just works. And unlike really almost any other consumer electronics that you can think of, when we develop new products over the years, we always, and again, you can attest to this, Johnny, we always make it backward compatible. So you can just move forward. You don't have to rip out what you already have and start over. You know, it's like, great, you want a new iPhone comes out, you know, you can't just, sometimes you can't even use the same connector or charger, you know.
Right, yeah. It's a new charger. It doesn't work with that. You have to buy the new one. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. We take the extra time and effort to make sure that anything that we come out with new works with what you already have. And then we also are really supportive of our integrators and are really thinking about the end users as well. And we always have you know, these great upgrade programs where you can kind of trade in your old stuff and get credit towards the new stuff to kind of try to ease the pain a little bit. You know, and these are things that really other companies just don't do. It's pretty unique. And then, of course, you know, we back it all up with great support. You know, we got really the hands down, you know, the best support team. You know, you're not going to go into, you know, what do you call this, automated phone trees or get, you know, somebody off in, you know, Indonesia or India or wherever. You know, these are trained, certified, you know, technicians and engineers. And, you know, we even have the ATSG guys. I don't know if you've ever needed them. I hope not.
No.
But they're kind of like the Navy SEALs of the AV industry. You know, if we can't figure something out over the phone or over IP, these guys will just hop on a plane and go out to the job site totally free of charge, and they won't leave until, you know, everybody's happy.
Nice.
And, you know, nobody else does that.
Not to my service.
Yeah.
Oh. That sounds like excuse me one second. My alarm here. And apologize, Jeff. That is a great overall synopsis of Crestron, the things that you guys offer, more of like not what it's not what you can't do. It's like, well, what do you want us to do? And there's definitely a solution, whether that's, okay, sure, let's control a room, or let's control all the rooms in the building, or all your buildings, or everything. And it's, like I said, it's scalable. Start off small, start off large, kind of do whatever you want. Imagine what you want to do, and then we can create around that. There's definitely a solution for every need. And like we mentioned, from the fish feeder to full campus automations and buildings and yachts and stuff for the military. You know, one of the Crestron classes I did for lighting was a friend next to mine. He does nothing but automation via Crestron for the government, and that's like his entire business. And I do homes. Some people do ballrooms. Some people do classrooms. They do a little bit of everything. You know, yachts. And, you know, simple solutions to really large solutions. It's a little bit of everything, and it's reliable. I think that's pretty good overall synopsis of what Crestron is capable of doing. And if you want something else to be done, let's make it happen.
Absolutely.
Jeff, what is the best way, if someone wants to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to do it? Should they just try and reach out via Crestron in general, or is there a way for them to reach you?
You know, you can certainly reach out if you know your local Crestron representative. That's ideal. To reach me, my email is jsinger@crestron.com. Obviously, crestron.com is the website. You can also go on, if you're interested in more about what went on at Infocom, we do have a very comprehensive recap page on our website. So if you go to our website, there's a bucket right on the homepage that'll take you there, and it's, you know, press releases and videos of our demos and photos and just a bunch of stuff.
If you are social like myself on every network I can think of, except for the ones we don't mention, you can check out Crestron. They have they're on a lot of them. So let's start from the basics, right? If you go to Facebook, go to facebook.com/CrestronHQ. That's their Facebook page. If you're on Twitter, if that still exists tomorrow, it's at CrestronHQ. If you want to watch cool videos, maybe they have the fish feeder, I don't know. Check them out on YouTube.com. YouTube.com/user/CrestronElectronics for the business side of things. If you might even be able to look up Jeff there. I'm sure he's probably listed as one of the employees like many other Crestron employees are. Go to LinkedIn.com /companies/Crestron-Electronics. Flickr, everyone remember that? Yahoo bought them. Good photo site if you're into photos and high-res stuff. Go to thelicker.com/photos/Crestron Electronics. They also have a blog, to my knowledge. I think it's just go.crestron.com. And for the more common photo sharing site that you're probably all like tapping on currently is Instagram. Check them out at CrestronHQ. That's a pretty good list of stuff. If you want to yell at me on the internet and tell me you didn't like my show, I'm totally open to suggestions. And if you want to be on the show, you can reach me on Twitter again if it's still there tomorrow. It's at JMOTA3, at JMOTA3. You can reach out to me on Facebook, on Google+. Crestron is also on Google+. You can check them out there as well. And a little bit of everything in between. It's usually just Johnny Moto or at JMOTA3. Tell me what you like, tell me what you didn't like. Tell Jeff you want to control something, like you want to feed your fish from 1,000 miles away. Make sure they don't die. I'm pretty sure Crestron can help you do that. Everyone, this has been AV Insider. Jeff, thank you for being on the show. I appreciate it. You've dropped a lot of knowledge on us, and I greatly appreciate that. I am interested to see where Crestron is headed, and you kind of alluded to that. And as we get a little bit later in the year, maybe around the time of Cedia, maybe have you back on the show again if you're open for it.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Everyone, again, this has been AV Insider, and we'll see you on the next episode.